Hi, let's learn hospital operation. Well, you may have heard about various hospitals all over the world. The first hospital that started was probably around 300-400 years back. Florence Nightingale, you may have heard about a nurse, was the first nurse who has started this concept of a hospital. Hospital, the word has come from hospice, the Latin word, which means accommodation, hotel, etc. During those days, when there was a war, and Florence Nightingale, who has done 3 months course for learning the nursing skills, although she was from a very royal family, she had got that zeal to treat those who needed the medical treatment. And she has done a course of 3 months, and then she has given us the concept of what is a hospital. And she has treated many of the war soldiers in those days, and she became, even at night time, she used to go and treat those soldiers who were wounded, who were sick, and that's why she was called as the Lady of the Lamp. And this is how the concept of hospital, where accommodation of the patients is required, where a intense care of these patients is required so that they become all right. And that's how the concept of hospital has evolved over the period of years. And let's learn how these hospitals are operating so that patients are benefited in various ways, right from the curative treatment, which is must of course because the person is ill, but before that one can have even preventive treatment. And once the patient has got some problem as a part of accident or a sickness, he may become disabled. In that case, even rehabilitation of this disability is required. And of course, the concept of hospital as an accommodation has gradually expanded to the daycare center, to the their services, even in the community, in the form of outreach services, which we'll see when we learn the topic. So let's understand the introduction to hospital operation management. Now, our learning objectives, when we are going to learn this topic in detail, will be what we mean by hospital operations, where we'll see the definition given by WHO, World Health Organization. What are the various functions of hospital, right from preventive, curative, rehabilitative, and other functions in the form of extramural functions, where the people are going, having the outreach programs for the community as well in the form of health education as well as treatment at their door. Then we learn about the management board, who are the topmost people who are going to manage the hospital, who are going to develop the strategic management strategies, how to manage this hospital, and even various committees which are useful for managing the hospital services, patient care services very smoothly. And that's how we are going to administer various services of the patient care in the hospital. Then comes district hospital, which has been considered as a referral system, as a secondary level of care for patients, which we'll learn in detail when we learn that, and finally we'll summarize the topic. Let's understand what we mean by hospital operations. World Health Organization has given us the definition of hospital operations in the form of, it's a part, integral part of social and medical organization. It is not just medical organization where the patients are treated, but it is also a part of social organization where people's emotions, where people's feelings, where people's requirement at the time of crisis, where people's mental health, all these things are going to be taken care of. Because when a person becomes ill, he not only is ill physically, but even lot of implications are there on his psychology, on his mental health, on his emotions and feelings, as well as apart from the patient himself, even the relatives, the friends, all of these are being worried about this person who is sick or who is has got some accident and he needs critical care, he needs the due care for treating this problem. And hence, it's a kind of not only medical problem that we are going to deal with in a hospital, but we are going a lot in the form of counseling of the patient himself as well as for the family members, so that they can take due care of the patient and his morale will improve, so that part of the emotional health which will help him in overcoming his own illness or problems as far as the treatment of the patient is concerned, because it is his own will to live, his own positive emotions which are going to help him in overcoming this problem fast. Because there are various researches which have told us that when a patient is being counseled properly, when his emotions are taken care of, when positive thinking occurs in the patient, definitely it creates various hormones and various chemicals in his body which itself help in improving his condition. That's how there are patients whom some of the doctors have told them that you have got a very advanced cancer and you are not going to live beyond 3 months or 6 months. But some of these patients who are having positive mental attitude, who have learned how to fight whatever comes, they have lived beyond 2 years also in such conditions. That's what research has told us. And hence, hospital should not be taking care of only the medical aspect, but also the social aspect of the condition, because there are certain social stigmas also for some of the diseases like leprosy, like tuberculosis, HIV, etc. And even those social stigmas are to be taken care of, then only the society is going to treat them in a proper way, which itself will help the improvement of the patients in their disease. And hence we say that it's an integral part of social as well as medical organization. Secondly, it should give the total or complete care, health care of the population. It is not just the disease that you are treating, it is the human being whom you are treating, that the doctor, the nurse, the paramedical people always should remember. And a complete care of the patient has to be taken. We are not treating just the disease, we are treating a human being. That has to be kept in mind. And that's how, when a comprehensive care in the form of preventive, curative and rehabilitative care is given in form of mental health aspect as well and social aspect as well, then only it is going to give us the real cure for the patient, as well as it is going to have benefits to the population as a whole, community as a whole. So we are supposed to give curative treatment. Of course, when a person comes with accident or illness, he needs cure for that illness. So we definitely need curative treatment, and that gives a lot of name and fame to the doctor who are giving wonderful curative treatment to the patient, because that's the need of the hour for the patient, who needs that kind of right treatment at the right time with the minimal side effects, so that he becomes all right very fast, because he is a bread earning person who needs to work, who wants to become all right fast. And hence curative treatment is of course very important. Then comes preventive treatment also. Health promotion and prevention of health is also very, very important, which gradually we are coming to know, because we have seen an ounce of prevention is better than the pound of cure. So one can say the benefits of preventive aspect of the health care. So a hospital not only has to be giving only the curative aspect of the treatment, but also it has to see to it that in future such things don't happen. Even his family members, even the community at large, should not suffer from these diseases by giving them health talks, by giving them what are the preventive aspects of health, hygiene, sanitation, etc., so that they are not going to suffer from these diseases. These diseases should be prevented rather than being treated after they are suffering. And then comes outpatient care, whereby normally we say that hospice is the hospital where it is accommodation, where people need inpatient care, where they need to be admitted and given treatment. That concept of initially the hospital that was there is now going beyond that, and now all the hospitals are even having outpatient care, where people can come, they can be consulted They can take the consultation from the consulting doctors or treating doctors, where minor procedures can be done and then patients can be sent home. So outpatient care also is important. Then outpatient services should not only reach to the patient, but they also should reach to the family and its home environment. That means even outreach programs in the form of medical camps, in the form of health education, awareness, health awareness and other educative talks at the community level should be given by the hospital, which is important. And one has to train the health workers. If the hospital doctors are not available, they don't have sufficient time to give health awareness talks to the patients in the community or in the hospital itself. If we train the paramedical workers, if we train the health workers regarding how to deliver these health awareness talks, even they can be used for that kind of work, and hence this is going to help us to reach large population, and that's how it is going to help us in improving the community health in toto to a large extent. And secondly, even not only the health education and training of health workers is enough, but even hospitals has got another purview in the form of training, education and development of medical, paramedical and other people, so that education of doctors, education of nurses, education of technical people in the form of ECG technician, X-ray technician, EEG technician, etc. All these things can be taken care of by the hospital. Apart from that, even research is a great field where to cure patients in future, to prevent various diseases, to know exactly what are the root causes of the disease and how to take care of them in future. Lot of biosocial research is also needed, biological research in the form of right treatment. Various kinds of drug trials are done where FDA approvals are taken. So even biosocial research also, as well as the social stigmas that are there, which are again creating bad effects on the health of the people. So if we are having biosocial research done, whereby we can implement those findings and get the right kind of attitude and aptitude of people to look at those patients who are suffering from certain diseases like HIV, tuberculosis, leprosy, etc., and how to motivate them, how to encourage them, how to make them enthusiastic about taking a long-term treatment. At the same time, they should not be depressed. They should continue it for a long term, even though they feel better. So a lot of biosocial research is also needed in these kind of fields. And our final goal is for the hospital, one should give the best possible care and cure to the patients who are coming to the hospital. Now let's understand the various components of hospital system. One is cure subsystem, then comes care subsystem, and there are some minor subsystems. As far as the care subsystem is concerned, one is diagnostic and the other is therapeutic. As we know, when a student goes to learn in the MBBS course, the professors always tell them, what is the cure of any disease? They will say, number one, diagnosis, number two, diagnosis, number three, diagnosis. Unless you diagnose a disease, you cannot cure that disease. It is so simple. Well, a patient comes to you with fever. There may be 100 causes of fever. There can be malaria, there can be typhoid, there can be viral fever, there can be infection due to upper respiratory tract infection, urinary tract infection, it can be dengue, it can be various causes, tuberculosis, anything, it can be leukemia. Anything can be there where the symptom may be in the form of fever. So, as a doctor, you are not supposed to treat the fever. One has to find out what is the root cause of this fever, then only you can treat fever. If it is malaria, you have to give anti-malarial. If it is tuberculosis, you have to give anti-tuberculosis drug. If it is dengue, you have to give the supportive line of treatment. If it is typhoid, you have to give those drugs where Salmonella, which are the organisms which are causing this disease, are attacked by these antibiotics. Like earlier days, we were using chloramphenicol and now we are using ofloxacin, etc. So one has to first diagnose what exactly is the disease. So diagnosis of the disease, or if there is an accident, whether it's a fracture or whether it is a ligament tear or whether it is only a sprain, any injury is there, whether it is a head injury, then one has to know whether it is subdural hematoma, whether it is intracranial hemorrhage, whether it is just concussion. Based on that, the treatment will vary, and for that you need various kinds of diagnostic tools in the form of various equipments, in the form of laboratory test, CT scan, radiology in the form of X-ray, MRI, etc., etc. And finally, one has to achieve what exactly is the diagnostic. So, diagnostic services are very important for curing the disease. And once we have diagnosed, then comes the therapeutics. So, what kind of right drugs are required for that particular diagnosis? Once we know the diagnosis, then we can apply the pharmacology aspect of that, which exactly which drugs are going to help us in treating that disease. And then we are going to give those drugs in the form of orally. It can be injections in the form of IV or subcutaneous or intramuscular. It can be suppositories in the form of rectal suppositories, etc. Whatever is needed, one can give that. So then comes the cure subsystem in the form of therapeutics. As far as the care subsystem is concerned, once the patient is admitted, he or she requires a lot of nursing care. Well, as far as the technical aspect is concerned, the doctors are number one for taking care of the patients, but even the nurses are very, very important. They are number two people whose importance one realizes right from day one when the hospital concept has come, because it was Nightingale, Florence Nightingale, who was a nurse basically, who has given us the concept of running the hospital. So, nursing care is extremely important. Then comes supportive line of treatment in the form of other paramedical people who are going to support us in achieving the diagnosis, in the form of ECG technician, radiology technician, EEG technician. It can be lab technician who are giving us the report regarding the patient. So, lot of supportive services in the form of rehabilitative, occupational health, physiotherapy, all these supportive line of treatment will be required by the patient, as well as lot of other support is required by various other services in the form of operation theater, laundry and linen. It can be CSSD, that is Central Sterile Supply Department, etc., etc. Then there are certain minor subsystems where administration of the hospital is also required to be done, where hospital administrator, the medical director, they are going to take care of various aspects. Infection control committee is going to take care of nosocomial infections. So, we need administrative aspect in the form of HR personnel who is going to recruit the right kind of manpower with right kind of technical skills at the right time. Similarly, there are financial management people who are going to take care of budgeting, who are going to take care of capital and revenue expenditure, how to get the funds and how to utilize it, allocation of these funds in the proper way. So, one has to have the right kind of communication system from top to bottom, especially when we are going to take care of the disaster management. So, all these aspects will come into administration, how casualty management of the patient should be done, how scheduling of the patient should be done in operation theater, how the scheduling of the patients, appointment of the patient should be taken care of in OPD, so that there is not long queues and patient's time is not wasted. So, that is administrative aspect. All these things will be taken care of by various people. Similarly, there are social aspects where a counselor in the hospital is going to counsel a patient for taking the consent for the HIV, for the any operative procedure, for taking treatment from the doctor. Even a doctor takes the counseling, especially while operating, especially while taking when the patient is going to undergo any procedure in the form of angiography or any operative treatment, be it a minor or the major. So, social aspect, as far as the feelings of the patient and the relatives is concerned, that also one has to take care of. And then comes the technical aspect, where paramedical people are there who are technicians in various fields. They are going to take care of these aspects. So, there are various subsystems which we are going to learn, whereby we are going to take care of the patient care services. So, let's learn about some of the intramural functions of hospital, which means it's within the walls of the hospital. Now, what are the various restorative functions of hospital? One is diagnostic, that means one has to diagnose what exactly is the case. Once we have diagnosed, we'll have to take the right kind of therapy to be given so that the disease is cured or the patient suffering from accident is gradually becoming all right by giving the right kind of nailing, plating to the bone, by joining the bones when there is a crack, or by giving plaster if required, or various kinds of treatment required for the accident. Once we have done that, you will have to rehabilitate him in the form of giving him physiotherapy for various kinds of fractures where he has to take rest for 1 or 2 months, where the muscles are not acting, and hence one has to activate these muscles gradually so that a patient will be able to take care of his daily activities gradually. Suppose a person has got heart attack, then you will have to give him cardiac rehabilitation in the form of regular increasing exercises, monitoring his ECG and blood pressure to know how his heart is taking up this kind of requirement. And gradually his activities can be increased so that he becomes fully functional over a period of time, maybe a month or 2 or 3 months, based on the injury to his heart. So that's rehabilitative treatment has to be given in the form of physiotherapy, occupational therapy in case of neurological diseases also, vocational therapy in case of problem of the speech, etc. For example, if a person has suffered from stroke where his speech is affected, he may need the treatment of speech therapy also, so that gradually he can speak well. Then if a person has fallen critically ill due to some acute abdomen, due to some major injuries, then care of these emergencies has to be taken, or poisoning, snake poisoning, etc. So care of these emergencies has to be taken for restoring the functions of the people. So once we have covered the curative aspect, where we want to restore these things, we also should see to it that the hospital has to take care of patients for prevention of the disease by giving them the health education talks. Similarly, pregnancy is something which is physiological, right? So supervision of normal pregnancies and childbirth is a kind of preventive aspect to prevent any problems that can occur to the mother or the child. Supervision of normal growth and development of the children by the pediatricians. There are growth charts available, there are immunization charts available, and one has to follow those immunizations for the children. One has to see the milestones of the children, how they are growing physically and mentally, and chart those things on these growth charts to see to it that the neonate, the infant, the child is growing in the right way. So that all comes under preventive aspects. Then comes control of communicable diseases. As we know, there are various communicable diseases in the form of infections. It can be tuberculosis, it can be trachoma, it can be plague, it can be so many other infections that are occurring, pyoderma, skin problems, etc. So when such communicable diseases are occurring, conjunctivitis in the season of late summer or the rainy season, we have seen in October also, we have seen at times cases of conjunctivitis. So all these are various kinds of communicable diseases. So one has to control these communicable diseases by giving them health education, how to prevent this spread of these communicable diseases to others in the form of, say, for tuberculosis, one has to cover the mouth whenever a person is spitting outside. One has to wear the mask so that the organisms, tuberculous organisms, mycobacterium tuberculosis, they do not come in the air, or you are not going to inhale them. Then health education in the form of awareness for various diseases, say cancer, how a person gets cancer, or what are the common signs which one should look at to prevent or to diagnose the cancer at the early stage. For example, suppose a person is having any swelling in the body which is increasing in size, Suppose a person is having chronic cough which is lasting for more than 3 weeks. Suppose a person is having some blood in the sputum. Suppose a person is having hoarseness in the voice. Any of these things when a person is having, one should go to a doctor and find out whether this is some of the signs of cancer. Suppose somebody is passing blood in the urine. Painless hematuria is one of the common signs of the cancer of the urinary bladder. So one should not ignore such symptoms and one should go to the doctor and do the proper investigations to know the early stages of cancer. For example, in case of females, cervical cancer can be early detected by doing pap smear. In case of those who are tobacco chewing people, one can examine the mouth oral cavity frequently to see if there are any white patches, if there are any red patches, we say leukoplakia, erythroplakia. If a person cannot open his mouth properly, then there can be submucous fibrosis. So when we examine these patients regularly in camps, etc., we do the health education for these people, definitely it is going to help us in diagnosing the cases early, and hence 100% cure can be given to these patients, or it can prevent them to undergoing the further stage of actual cancer development. It can be suspended at the early stage whereby patient is not going to suffer. So health education, the screening camps, etc., are extremely important. So the hospital should regularly organize such camps in the community as well, and in the hospital premises also they can conduct such things for not only the patients but also the relatives, family members, etc., and the community around. They can be invited in your hospital. Similarly, occupational health. What is occupational health? All of us are having some or the other occupation. Well, somebody may say that a housewife, she is only remaining in home. Do you feel she is also having some occupation? Yes. Even she has to sweep the floor. She is doing some occupation. When she is preparing chapatis for the whole family, maybe 40-50 chapatis she is preparing in one particular position. Even she is exposed to various problems of backache, shoulder ache, etc. Those who are computer professionals, of course, they are having lot of problems of the computers in the form of computer vision syndrome, musculoskeletal problems, etc. So as far as the occupational health is concerned, one has to take care of all of these. One has to give them the right kind of ergonomic chair, right kind of ergonomic postures to do all that, and the working station also should be taken care of in the proper way so that a person remains in the right posture, he doesn't exert too much while working on anything, whereby his particular muscles are going to act for a long time, they will become fatigued and they are going to be affected adversely. So occupational health is also a kind of preventive health which one has to take care of, and that's the function of the hospital as well. Now, other intramural functions are in the form of education. So many of the hospitals are attached to teaching colleges, so where medical students are going to learn in the form of, say, MBBS course they are doing if they are learning allopathy. If they are learning Ayurveda, it will be Ayurvedic course they are doing. If they are learning Unani, it will be Unani. If they are learning homeopathy, it will be homeopathy. College attached to the hospital. So medical undergraduates are going to learn in these hospitals. Then comes specialists and postgraduates. So apart from undergraduates to learn the basics of those pathies that they are going to learn, even hospital is required for postgraduate and specialist and super specialist courses to be run. There are certain hospitals which have been given authorized to take the students for Diploma National Board Delhi. There are some colleges which are having the postgraduate courses in the form of MD, MS, and then even further super specialization in the form of DM, which is 3 years after doing MD, or MCH, which is 3 years after doing MS, or some eye hospitals can have retina specialist, glaucoma specialist, all these super specialties can be there in the form of, say, LV Prasad or Shankar Netralay in Chennai, etc., in India, and similar all over the world. So there are specialist and postgraduate courses which are being taken care of by various hospitals. Similarly, there are PhD students who are doing some research in some fields. Then there are nursing courses for nurses, BSc nursing, diploma nursing, ANMs are there, auxiliary nurse midwives are there. Then there are medical social workers, clinical psychologists, and some of the people who are doing social work course, say for example in TISS, they are posted in some hospitals for learning the medical social workers course. Then there are paramedical staffs in the form of X-ray technician, ECG technician, EEG technician, MRI technician, CT scan technician, etc. So such paramedical courses are also run by hospitals, say dialysis technician are also there. Then comes community health education. So apart from teaching the medical undergraduates, postgraduates, medical social workers, technical aspects, etc., even going further, we have to teach the community. We have to develop certain voluntary people from the community who can be going outside in the community and giving the health education talks regarding health, hygiene, healthy lifestyle, how to prevent communicable diseases, how to take care of various kinds of problems in the community as well, how to prevent certain diseases, how to prevent the social stigma among the people when they are going to deal with the patients of those diseases. So community health education is also equally important for the as an intramural function of the hospital. Then comes research. Well, research is a field which is very, very important, especially in medical field. Well, in all fields research is required, because once we know what are the risk factors of the disease, once we know the progress of the disease, how it is going to occur, once we know what are the exact organisms, once we learn the histopathology of the tissue of the diseased organs, once we know what are the molecules at the molecular level by electron microscope, once we know the genetics aspect, DNA aspect of various things, once we know the nanotechnology which can be used to find out where exactly we can attack those organisms, then only we can develop new drugs, and these drugs are going to help us in curing the disease. As time goes by, we know some of the bugs become resistant to the drugs, and we are seeing multi-drug resistant diseases for tuberculosis. There are XMDR where there are no drugs available which are going to treat these bugs. So we require research. There are so many cases dying of malaria also. So we require research for how to attack those Anopheles mosquitoes, how to attack those mosquitoes so that they are not going to harbor those malarial vectors, and hence Plasmodium vivax, Plasmodium falciparum, etc. You can attack them in such a way that they are not able to transmit them to the human being. So various kinds of researches are going on. You can have vaccine against these, that also research is going on, so that like poliomyelitis, like we have eradicated smallpox and we are in the forefront to eradicate even the poliomyelitis, we can think of eradicating malaria in future by vaccinating all the people against malaria, which is a dream. If it comes true, we'll be very happy, because we know there are lots of cases of death in case of falciparum malaria especially, and even some of the cases of death in vivax malaria, because they are also becoming more complex now. So we have seen physical, psychological, social aspect of health and disease. One can learn about physical aspect of disease in the form of what are the various risk factors for a disease. For example, for getting a heart attack, there are certain risk factors we have seen. Smoking is one of the most important thing. Obesity, high blood pressure, stress, genetic, various factors are there which are considered to be risk factors. And once we do research on these by prolonged studies, retrospective studies on those who have suffered from this, and prospective studies, what is the follow-up of these patients, then we can learn that these are the risk factors which are responsible for it, and then we can try to prevent these risk factors in people by doing genetic studies, by giving them the health education talks and helping them in smoking cessation, by monitoring their weight and reduction of the weight, by managing their stress well, etc. And this is how their physical aspect, their psychological aspect, as well as the social aspect in the form of certain social stigmas that are there, certain cultural aspects are there which are responsible for getting this problem in the form of some of the communities are very prone to consumption of tobacco, some of the communities are very prone to consumption of alcohol, etc. So one can know the social aspect of this culture and accordingly try to attack them in the right way by mobilizing the people's mind towards those community leaders who can then convince their people in their village, in their taluka, in their city. And that's how we can do the research in physical, psychological, social aspect of health and disease, and then try to prevent those diseases in future. We can do research in clinical medicine by developing newer and newer drugs where clinical trials are done on animals and then on human beings. Of course, one has to take the consent of these people. One has to take care of the ethical aspect of this, and FDA regulations are there to take care of all of these. And once it is passed in the FDA regulation, this new drug can come in the market to treat those diseases which were difficult to be treated. And that's how clinical medicine research is also going on to a large extent, and hospitals are required where a large chunk of patients for a particular disease can be taken as the control people or for the experimental people, whereby we can do the drug trials, clinical trials of the drugs, and then develop the protocol for using the right kind of drugs by knowing their bioavailability of the drugs, and that's how we can treat the disease. Then as far as the hospital practices and administration are concerned, we can learn from various hospitals by taking the statistical data, and that will give us an idea how best to administer a hospital, whereby we can take the best care of the community around and the patients within the hospital also, so that in future we can use those tactics for the quality assurance of the patients' treatment.